Do you want to know the truth? Or do you just want to feel good? Here's Gruber, fierce and fearless.
What's it going to be? Truth? Let's go with that. Truth it is. From Mark, the list, things that should have been on the top 10 list of stories for 2018. Syria, the destruction of ISIS, the North Korean summit, the concerns with China, NAFTA, the tariffs, all of those things, and the stock market. Good list of things that should have been on. Well, on the Associated Press list, so says Mark. So there you go. A computer virus hits the Los Angeles Times and Tribune Publishing. If you didn't see this kind of interesting story, a computer virus hit the newspaper printing plants in Los Angeles and Tribune all across the country. Computer virus disrupted production of the Chicago Tribune and its papers as well. The print edition of the Chicago Tribune published Saturday without paid death notices or classified ads, while in other markets a similarly slammed and slimmed down version of the Saturday paper delivered. The problem is that they were hacked, they say, by a foreign entity. I don't know who that foreign entity would be, but you sit here and you wonder. And you wonder what's going to happen when you get hacked by China or Russia or North Korea. But anyhow, this big newspaper shut down, and it is something for you to consider. My next guest has his eye on what's going on with foreign governments on a regular basis. Humphrey Hawksley here, leading BBC foreign correspondent and a commentator on the world affairs and author of a brand new book, Man of Ice, or Man on Ice, I should say. Humphrey, welcome back.
Thank you. And a good new year to you all.
And a good, well, you guys have already gotten there, haven't you? Are you close?
No. We're about 12 hours away from it.
All right. So where do we find you this morning?
I'm in London.
All right, in London.
And you're talking about foreign entities. We've got the breakup of Europe about to happen here, and you've got all the stuff over in the U.S., this divisiveness, haven't you?
When you say the breakup of Europe, you're talking about the Brexit, which has just been we don't get a lot of coverage of Brexit here in the United States. You guys look at it front and center every day. Theresa May fighting for her political life most days, it seems like, from where we sit.
Yeah, Steve, I think the thing about Brexit is that Britain is it's the world's fifth or sixth biggest economy, and it's decided to leave a grouping of countries that essentially was set up under American mentorship after the end of the Second World War. And that was set up in order to stop Europe fighting, because that's what it continually does. And when the U.S. became essentially a global power, it kept getting dragged into those wars. And the European Union has become a fairly successful entity now of 27 nations over this sort of, European Union values of democracy and human rights and that kind of thing. And it was very, very successful in bringing in the Cold War communist countries after the collapse of the Soviet Union. But people seem to have forgotten all that now, and it's going back, from my view, sadly, into sort of old ways of sort of nationalism, of sovereign rights, and all that kind of thing. And Britain's leaving is going to be a big blow to it. It's going to have to look at itself. It's going to have to reform. It's going to have to reassess its relationship with the U.S. and the rest of the world.
Obviously, you sit right there, Humphrey, and you understand that there are people within the UK, the English, that say we want our sovereignty back. We want our identity back. Do you understand that, or you don't like that idea? I mean, obviously, you think that the Europeans will go back to their hostile ways toward each other. But I can understand why somebody would want their identity back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're right, Steve. So I think you've got a couple of things happening here. You've got a sense of lost sovereignty and lost identity, and that's come up out of the same type of sort of social dynamics that has given such a popular support for President Trump is a similar type of social dynamic that gives a popular support of winning back sovereignty or control or identity and that sort of thing. The way that I see it, because I'm a foreign correspondent, and the book Man on Ice that you mentioned is actually set on the U.S.-Russian border, so and another book I did set in Asia. So what I see it is that there are three big powers in the world today. There's the U.S., there's China, and there's the European Union. And by leaving the European Union, Britain might be better off. The people might actually feel better about those sort of emotional things on sovereignty and that. But I don't think it makes the world a safer place. I think the world would be a safer place when the democracies, that's the U.S. and the European Union, these are these sort of values of democracy is sort of entrenched in there, when they are strong and healthy and able to stand up to the autocracies, rising autocracies of Russia and China. And that's why I'm against the European, against Britain leaving, not because Britain will be better or worse off or people will feel better or worse, but because pragmatically it makes democracy and the values that you share and we all share together weaker against rising autocracy.
Humphrey Hawksley here is a BBC foreign correspondent, new book, Man on Ice, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I think that you've hit something important here, Humphrey, and that is here in the United States, we don't get a good deal of news from Europe or Asia or Africa. We get a little bit here and there. But I notice that when I travel, if I'm in Europe or I'm in New Zealand or wherever I might be, there's a lot more foreign news and stories that come out of the places that I just mentioned that we just don't see here in the United States. You don't get the kind of news coverage here in America that we should get. For example, your book, Man on Ice, although, you know, a novel, is a focus on the fact that there's a militarization going on in the Arctic. It never gets discussed here on the NBC Nightly News or on CNN or on Fox News. You just don't hear these things.
No, that's right. I mean, the Man on Ice book that I did a trip for the BBC a couple of years ago up to the Russia-US border. And this was just after the Ukraine had happened, and the talk of the new Cold War was starting again. So I looked at the map. I thought, oh, okay, so there's a border between Russia and America, the two big superpowers. And actually, when you get in there, there are two islands, and they're barely 2 miles apart. And one of those islands is a Russian military outpost, and the other one is called Little Diomede, and it's an Alaskan village with 80 villagers that live on it. And what struck me there, Steve, was that the border between the U.S. and Russia, these two huge powers, one authoritarian, essentially, and one democracy, these two ideologies, the border goes along a strip of water. You get up in the morning, you open the blinds. If it's summer, there's no darkness anyway, and you're looking straight across at Russia. There are no flags there. There are no border posts there. And on the American island, there is no government presence at all. There's no Alaska National Guard. There's no nothing to defend it at all from Russia, just one day walking in there.
Hold
and
that
the
thought.
That I wrote, I thought,
hold that thought, Humphrey, because I want to come back to that. Hold that thought right there, my friend.
Sure, yep.
You've set it up nicely. Quick break. Back with Humphrey Hawksley right after this from the BBC on the Steve Gruber Show. Sit tight.
So, you have unfiled tax returns, maybe several, and maybe, just maybe, the IRS will never catch you. In the meantime, you don't dare buy a home or put money in the bank. That's no way to live. There is hope. I can help you file those tax returns and negotiate a reasonable settlement with the IRS. I'm Chris McGlatcher of Fresh Start Tax Solutions. Call my team of experts at 269-969-9752 or go to stevegruber.com to find us.
In 1977, in Johannesburg, South Africa, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. By the age of 9, he was already outplaying him. The odds of that same boy then making it to the US and European pro golf tours? 1 in 7 million. The odds of the Big Easy winning the Open Championship once and the US Open Championship twice? One in 780 million. The odds of this professional golfer having a child diagnosed with autism? One in 110. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent. Brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.